Internet services in conjunction with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Isabella.
There's something different about this episode. Something not quite right. How's your week been in Doctor Who then, Isabella?
I like Amy.
Yeah, I think we've established that. So what did you think of the Nicholas Briggs interview last week?
Well, Doctor fell down to the ground and he was stuck.
What's that got to do with Nicholas Briggs?
Well, Doctor will come to the Doctor Who podcast.
Will he?
Yeah.
When?
Saturday.
Don't you mean he'll come to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
Yes.
You said the Doctor Who podcast?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different podcast. I think that you might have had a bit of a premonition as to what's going to be coming on the Doctor Who podcast.
Yes.
Well, they will be delighted if a Doctor's going to be appearing on their show, won't they?
Yeah. I'm going to get my Amy.
Is there somebody missing?
Yes.
Who's missing?
I know. Alicia.
Oh, Alicia. Hello, Alicia. Oh, here she is.
I registered John to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Good, right then.
Okay.
So, everybody present?
Yep.
And accounted for?
Yep.
So, what did you think about the Nicholas Briggs interview last week?
You already asked me this question.
Did I win?
Last podcast.
That was the last podcast.
Yeah, the last podcast.
Oh, okay. But you've had time to sort of consider your answer a bit better now, haven't you?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
I'm going with Daddy.
Pardon?
I'm going with you.
Right.
What's that, Isabella?
A Dalek.
Yeah, what is this, though? The Dalek's on.
A white.
Oh, it's a T-shirt.
T-shirt.
Anyway, without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who, shall we, Alicia?
Mm-hmm.
Because this week, what did we actually do?
Hello, what did we do, Isabella?
To do with Doctor Who, what did we do to do with Doctor Who this week?
Make Doctor Who cakes!
Did we?
Yeah!
We can make some Doctor Who cakes.
She wants
to make some cakes today.
Yeah, maybe later. I'm talking about what did we do in
What's
relation
my
to...
my favourite classic Doctor Who story.
It can't possibly be your favourite.
It is.
I'm going to have a
Which
my
was...
Doctor Who
I don't know
story.
What the name is.
I want my Doctor Who story.
I like it.
What's your Doctor Who story?
Was it something on the Bannerman?
Well...
Delta on the Bannerman, yes. What?
The story called... Amy fell down to the ground.
Don't think they've written a story called Amy fell down to the ground yet, unless you're referring to Amy's choice.
The story called The Doctor Fell Down to the Ground.
Isabella, let's ask her this question again. Isabella, what happened to the Doctor Who this week?
There's no Doctor Who this week. Oh, there was actually, because we watched it.
Well,
Delta and the Bannerman.
The story of the Doctor go under the ground.
Okay. Right, anyway, Alicia, Delta and the Bannermen.
Loved it.
No. This is my
favourite
story.
Loved it.
Shut up!
Assessment every time. No, just so I'm trying. I was going to. Thank you, Alicia. And Isabella. I was going to discuss in detail the actual episode itself. But, seem to remember the DVD.
Shush.
The DVD had an extra version of episode 1 on it, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Which had an extra scene of the Doctor and Mel inside the TARDIS, which was really interesting, and probably was the most interesting part of the whole episode. No need to hit me, it was though, because I hadn't seen it before. But there's a couple of things that spring to mind about this particular story. One, do you remember the orange?
What's it doing down here?
The beginning of episode 1, the ship flies past what appears to be a Satsuma hanging in space. Which I thought was quite funny. What bits was I moaning about at the time, do you remember?
No.
Why don't you? Because you were on blooming MSN, weren't you?
I was not.
No. You were. Yeah, we had to replay the bit where the bloke from the Flying Pickets gets vaporised at the end of the episode, or beginning of episode 2, because you weren't watching. And you said, that's nice.
That's nice.
And there was an alternative ending to episode one on that episode, the extra episode, where Billy actually arrives at the apartment before the end of the episode, and Metal stops screaming as well. Which and then the actual cliffhanger was the Doctor and what was the name of the girl in it? Ray, wasn't it? We're just about to get done in by the flying pickets bloke. Gavrok, brilliant. I love Gavrok.
I don't like Gavrok.
You don't like Gavrok? No, I'm talking about the actor who plays him.
Oh, was I
missing? Don Henderson, I think it was, if I remember rightly.
My eyes hurt.
Yeah, okay. What else was really good about it? I love the actual the setting of in the Batlands camp. That's a lovely setting. It's all sort of. There's not a lot of studio stuff in that episode. It's all like on location. Some slightly dodgy acting on the part of the actress who played Ray. And there was a couple of really bad continuity things, wasn't there? Where there was a scene where they're having a picnic and Delta is giving the baby some food with that suckling thing, and then the Doctor arrives and they all look up, including the baby, who then stops feeding. And they cut to a shot of the Doctor and Ray arriving on the Vincent, and then cut straight back, and the baby's suddenly feeding again. Mm-hmm. That looked out of place, and there was a couple of continuity issues like that. And there was a bit I saw it with they're riding a motorbike across the back of a hill, and you can see that Sylvester McCoy is clearly wearing glasses, because he couldn't see very well without his glasses. So, and you could actually see them, maybe because it's DVD, and in previous times of seeing the show, you wouldn't have been able to notice something like that. And that's not much about the story. The American chaps. What do you think of the American characters in it?
The American.
I think I got a funny feeling. The bloke in the baseball cap was actually American. But why on earth get him to wear, probably in his mid to late 60s, a baseball sort of uniform type thing?
Because that's what America was famous for at the time.
No, that's stereotyping people. But maybe it's because the Americans are quite guilty of stereotyping British people in their productions, I don't know.
Well, they used to be.
Give me an example of Americans stereotyping British people.
They usually have really, really posh and, really posh outfits.
Yeah, they generally only depict British people as being posh or Cockney, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not often you get a Northerner. And,
or a Liverpool.
Oh, they sometimes do Liverpool, but they do it badly.
Liverpool.
They don't do very well, do they? But then, I'm trying to think of American actors that can do good British accents. Who's the one to play Bridget Jones? Renee Zellweger. She's pretty good. Gwyneth Paltrow. She's pretty good. But did you see John Barrowman's show last night?
Yes.
And what's it called again?
Tonight's Tonight.
Yeah, in which he tried to do a Welsh accent, and it was and that was in Wales, and the people didn't actually spot that he wasn't Welsh, even though the accent was one of the worst I've ever heard. But we diverge from the actual.
I'm getting bored of you.
I'm trying to think of episode 3. What happened to episode 3 apart from it was the conclusion of the story?
You're boring me now.
And it's not what happens in it. We're supposed to be reviewing Delta and the Bannermen.
I don't want to.
Well, you just said it's one of your favourite stories of the classic era.
It is, I can't believe it.
Well, I want to give it a chance, because other Doctor Who podcasts say it's rubbish.
There are
certainly rubbish elements about it. I really enjoy watching it.
Well, it's my favourite classic story.
It can't be.
It is!
You said War Games was your favourite classic story.
No, it ain't! That's you!
Dear, we're a bit of a mood this morning.
I'm not in a mood! Sabella! You say something interesting.
No, I can't.
Say something about Doctor Who.
Well.
Oh, no, no, she's going to say anything.
No, it's a, no, shush.
First nomination.
First nomination, that's Big Brother.
I know.
Go on, then, you're going to nominate. You're going to nominate the Doctor.
I like Doctor Who.
Say right. Something about Doctor
Who. Sorry that the Doctor fell
down to the ground. Isabella, what do you like about Doctor Who?
Well, Doctor.
Okay. Oh, that's Isabella, who's your first nomination?
Doctor.
Okay, good. Splendid. Right.
Do you like Amy?
Yes, she's in my room.
She is, isn't she?
Yeah, can we get back to the subject we're supposed to be talking about? So, you're summing up Delton and the Bannermen, in which it is a bit of a ridiculous notion that just because this bloke fell in love with Delta, that he try and turn himself into a one of those her species and go off with
mm-hmm.
her. There was a few rather ridiculous things, and there was some...
Don't pick your nose, Isabella.
But on the whole, it has its faults, but I do really like Delta and the Bannermen.
There you go, Isabella. Good girl. Sorry.
So it has its faults,
but I really like it. I like it.
I think it's good. Three episodes is right.
Yeah, we'll go on the Wii in a minute.
So anyway, shall we move on to our very thin quantity of feedback for the moment?
Oh, that means nobody like us.
No, it just means nobody wants to give us feedback this week. So we'll go on from our friend in podcasting, dear Graham Sheridan. And without Graham, where would we be? Remember, I said last week.
Is that the referee?
Yeah, he's not a referee. He gives us. Little pep talk.
Oh, Isabella, come back.
No, go away.
No, come back. Come here.
You can go and watch your programme for a bit so I can talk Doctor Who in... Why, is she upset?
Yeah, you've upset her because you told her to go away.
No, I don't mean go away as in go away.
You told her to go away.
She wanted to go away, sure.
She didn't.
Anyway, he says, hi, Adam, and of course, Alicia. Just got done with episode 17. All I can say is, despite sound problems, best episode ever. Well done, quite a natural interview style, because Nick came across quite relaxed. Good questions, and the only stupid question is a question unasked. So when you asked Nick what he would see himself doing if he wasn't doing Big Finish, I thought, well done, Adam, because sometimes you get an interesting answer, and by golly you did. Oh, by the way, Alicia, bless you, belated, for your sneeze attack.
I think sneeze attack?
Yes.
When?
During the episode. I think I nearly fell over when you mentioned fan-produced Who and gave Professor Howe as an example, which I have actually listened to since then, and he's a blooming clever chap, I tell you. He writes them and does all the acting in them and produces them.
I know, Dad. I listened to one with you in the car when
quite impressed with it.
When we were at Sainsbury's.
Yes, and I was really quite impressed with it. He did a little one for Podshock as well, that I listened to quite recently. Thanks very much, anyway, he says, continues. Much appreciated. So don't worry, no complaints. We all have our bad sound days, and it can't really be helped, and especially over Skype. So once again, well done. Keep up the good work. Your pal in podcasting, Graham, Second Doctor, Sheridan.
Dad.
Yes, darling. Right, moving on.
There you go.
Moving on. Right. Via the Facebook group, we have...
Jeffrey Berman.
Yes. Or, to probably pronounce it correctly, Jeffrey Berman.
How many members have we got?
Last time I looked. Oh, 51 there. Can you get your fingers off it? I'm trying to read it.
Who's Mark Henderson?
Can you get your fingers... Anyway, Jeffrey Berman says, love the show, but is it really necessary to give Alicia timeouts?
You got pained.
Excuse me. Yes, it is absolutely necessary to give her time out, because otherwise she... The trouble is, right, listeners, since Alicia's found out that people like her being argumentative, she's been more argumentative than she normally is. And for me, trying to produce a serious podcast, it makes it very difficult and very frustrating, because even though we have to have these little light-hearted moments, I do like to get the actual information across in relation to the fact this is a Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, carry on.
Anyway, here we go. Didn't you learn anything from the episodes you didn't contribute to? The show works best when you work as a team, and working as a team is something Alicia is quite foreign to, so it's quite difficult actually doing that. Yes, but I do accept that I need her on the podcast. I just wish she'd be a bit more, more friendly to the show and understand the format. Yeah. Get your bits off. Stop leaning on me. Get off.
I'm gonna lean on you.
Right. There was a little bit of feedback via the...
Your face.
No, there was a little bit of feedback via Podbean, actually. But it's a couple of words. I think Draculasaurus sent us something, so I'm just going to have a quick look.
The last feedback.
Yes, Draculasaurus said, sure, great show. Really enjoyed the interview.
Oh, is that it?
Yep. That's still feedback. So.
Oh!
That's basically feedback for this
what's
week.
What's that?
That's a previous episode. We covered that one.
With me?
Yep.
Oh, God.
So, now we move on to the thing I wanted to do last week, but some bloke came on the show and sort of put it to one side for a week. I can't remember his name.
Are you trying to get your phone out?
Yes. Right. Review of Series 1. Hee, ha ha, hoo hoo.
Bye.
No, you're supposed to be here for this, because we're supposed to be trying to remind you of it.
Bye.
Right, Unearthly Child. Do you remember Unearthly Child, Leisha? It was basically this mysterious girl at a school who... Who made her school teachers a little bit suspicious. And so they follow her home to a junkyard where they stumble across an old man, and they think, hang on, what's this old geezer doing with a young girl in a blue box? And they go into the blue box, have a little bit of a scuffle, and they all fall over, basically. And then they wake up, get out of the box, and find themselves in Stone Age times. There has been some disagreement as to whether it was Stone Age times on Earth or just Stone Age times on another planet, but we are to presume, I think, that it's supposed to be on Earth. During the escapades on Earth, during the Stone Age times, the Doctor loses his matches after one of the Stone Age men sees him light his pipe.
Oh my God!
So the Stone Age man knows he can make fire.
Dad!
And holds him to ransom.
I start high school in 2 weeks.
And holds him to ransom for that.
I don't even listen to you, but there you go.
So, eventually, after a lot of being imprisoned and escaping and being imprisoned and escaping several times and running through forests and the dark.
Can we get hold of
that? Ian actually manages to make fire in the traditional camping way, and they escape to the TARDIS and go away. So do you remember that story?
Remember a bit at the beginning when the TARDIS...
But you don't remember the Stone Age bit. Can you actually come over here, please?
Well, remember at the beginning where the...
I heard that bit. Yeah, go on.
When the TARDIS lands and the Doctor's like, it hasn't changed and something's wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you're talking about the actual the TARDIS itself hadn't changed from a police box or something. Yeah. You remember that bit?
And it's like landed on top of the hills and all that. And then there was loads of Stone Age people trying to get them.
So you do remember bits of that story, then?
Yeah.
So that's pretty good going.
To go on the
Wii. Yeah, well, when we finish this, you can have a go on the Wii.
Yeah, but I don't want to go on the Wii. I want to make cupcakes.
But you can't make cupcakes.
Dad, can I play cupcakes?
Yeah, can we get on with this first? Let me finish this and we'll sort that out, please. Okay?
And then can I make cupcakes?
Just sort this out and we'll talk about what's happening afterwards in a minute, please.
We can't make those...
Dad, are we doing a shopping today?
No.
But can't make the Doctor Who cupcakes.
Yes, we can.
No, not yet.
Yes.
Wait for the night.
It is night.
We know it's not the night. It's the morning. We only got cupcakes.
Yeah, but that's why you make cupcakes. You make it in the morning. Yes.
We make it
from
the cookie at tea.
No.
Can I get on, please?
Isabella, can Daddy get on?
Can you... just sort of go a little bit further away. Right, so do you remember then what the next story would have been? Silence is not good on an audio presentation, Alicia. The next story was called The Daleks.
I knew that.
Why didn't you say so? Remember the original Dalek story?
They
arrive on the planet, under those of them.
No one went!
Oh, go on, let's see if you can remember it then, because you've only seen it once.
Yeah, they saw the Daleks and there's loads of people there.
Yeah, that's a real synopsis of 7 episodes, is it?
Oh, God, is it 7 episodes? You're going to explain 7 episodes?
Very briefly, yes.
Oh, darling.
Just see if I can jog your memory, right? They arrive on a planet, they look at the radiation thingamajig readout, and it says normal, and as soon as they step out the door, it goes up to danger. And then, of course, they walk around this sort of petrified forest and get gradually more ill. They come to this clearing where they see a city, which the Doctor wants to go down and see, but Ian and Barbara and that want to go back to the TARDIS and move on. But the Doctor, well, anyway, they end up going down to the city and walking around all these corridors, and then at the end of the episode, Barbara gets cornered by a plunger.
Oh, yeah, I remember that bit.
Oh, you do, right. Can you get a bit over here then, please?
No, because you're going to talk about some of the episodes.
Can you? I'm not. If you let me get on, I'll get the seven episodes done quite quickly.
You can do it.
And then, of course, the next episode, we discover that the plunger is attached to a Dalek. They get imprisoned. Ian gets shot in the process, and they only paralyse his legs. They all start getting really bad radiation sickness, and Susan is sent by the Daleks to get some radiation medicine from the TARDIS or something, I think. Because the Daleks think that they need the medicine as well, I think. I can't remember why it was, actually. But anyway, on the way back to the TARDIS, Susan gets all spooked out by people following her, which turn out to be the Thals. That she befriends the Thals, and Ian and... Well, I think she comes back, they get their radiation medicine, and then they all... escape, and sort of the Daleks rope them into doing this, that and the other, but they escape the city, meet up with the Thals, and then they find out the Daleks want to attack or set off a bomb to sort of clear, make it sort of, because they realise they need radiation, the Daleks think they need radiation to live, so they want to explode a neutron bomb to kill everybody in, you know, on the surface, so the Daleks can go out of the city. So they realise they've got to go and stop them, so that they the Thals are a peaceful race, and you know, they don't agree with war, but Ian provokes one of them into punching him by trying to go off with one of the girls, and that proves that they have got fighting spirit. So they go on this expedition back into the sea to fight the Daleks, and then they find that the Daleks are powered by static electricity, and they turn off the static electricity, and end of Daleks. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty sad, really, because that story, the Daleks, is the most important Doctor Who story of all time.
I remember it.
You do you?
Yes.
Any other things stick in your mind about it? Can you get your hand off the computer, please? Please.
There's Daleks. Yeah, doesn't Susan and... Doctor first meet the Daleks, like, they're just trapped by them, and there's a big, huge group of them, and then the man person, tries to escape, but then he gets shot.
Yeah, that does happen, as far as I remember. There's also a thing where they're down by this river, sort of lakey thing, when this strange monster sort of comes out, and loads of mutant things down there, and they come to also a cliff where they've got to try and build a bridge to get across, and the cliff is only like, they could easily step across it, but, you know, they're going making all this fuss about. Do you remember that bit?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, so the next story was called The Edge of Destruction, which was a particularly interesting story for me, because they were set wholly in the TARDIS. Do you remember that one? Everybody goes a bit mad, and Susan threatens Ian with a pair of scissors.
Yes.
And she stabs the bed with the scissors, remember that bit?
Yes.
And the Doctor ends up with a bandage around his head.
Yes.
And Barbara is particularly good in that episode.
Yes.
What do you remember specifically about that one, then? How is it resolved?
Something to do with Barbara.
I think Barbara realised the TARDIS was trying to tell them something, that they were heading for the Big Bang, because one of the switches had got stuck. I can't remember what it was called now. There was a switch that had got that had seized up. Get your mitts off the...
I want to touch it, okay?
I'm just seeing what the synopsis is in the Pocket Doctor Who Guide. Doesn't have one. There's some synopsis on here. Observations, just says observations. Doesn't even say just.
Hold on.
Yes.
Have you just been reading from
No,
that?
I made. I did the
first. Yes, you have.
From my
you
own
cheat.
Memory. No, I did it from my own memory, but I'm just seeing that what. Because I can't remember. It does have a gist. There we are. Chaos rules. Get you. No, because that's coming through the microphone. Please don't do that. Chaos rules as the TARDIS appears to be under a malevolent alien control, which not actually, it's just being telepathic and trying to tell them, oi, switch that switch off, otherwise we're going to head for the Big Bang and blow up. So And Mark Campbell's verdict was strong imagery, weak plot. Well, there you go. The next story you won't have probably seen or heard of or remember. It's called Marco Polo. The reason why you won't have heard of it or remember it is because it doesn't exist in the archives. But I've actually listened to it a couple of times. And it's such a shame it's not in the archives because it's absolutely brilliant. It's basically the Doctor and his companions land in the roof of the world, where it's freezing cold, and meet up with Marco Polo and travel to see the Kublai Khan, who, because Marco Polo has decided to, that the TARDIS is going to be a gift that he's going to give to the Kublai Khan, even though the Doctor says, hang on, that's mine. But, yeah, and it's basically managed to stretch that story out to, a very good story, out to 7 episodes again. But yeah, good stuff. Now, you will remember the next one. It's called The Keys of Marinus. Do you remember that one? Because I remember at the time you said, oh, this one's really good. They land on a planet called Marinus, and the TARDIS crew hunt for 4 keys.
Yes, I do remember
right,
all
right.
It.
So
Dad.
Yeah.
Isabella wants something.
No, she doesn't. She just wants to put that cup in the bin. So, do you remember? What, tell me what you remember of The Keys of Marinus, then.
I just remember it.
You don't know, because you're not telling me anything specific.
Wasn't there a court?
There was a court. Well done! There was a court. And what happened in the court?
Someone went on trial.
Yes, Ian did. Well done, Alicia. I'm impressed now. Yes, Ian, at some point in the story, Ian was framed for murder. And the Doctor, I think, defence lawyer.
Lawyer.
Yeah, well done. It's a long time since he's seen that story. He never saw that one once, so I'm impressed. And I remember you saying, let's see that one again. So do you want to review that one? It's a 4 or 5 part story, I think. No, 6. But it's good. I've got it on DVD.
Oh.
So, you know, at the time, you loved it. Yes. Next story was called The Aztecs. Do you remember that one? Where Barbara finds that they sort of materialise in a crypt or like a tomb thing, and they find this, like, this decaying old body and with lots of jewellery and stuff, and Barbara puts this sort of helmet thing on and the doors open up and she's then confused as being the priest, reincarnation of a priest.
Oh, yes. Aspects,
the Ataxa, I think it was. And then Tlotoxel then thinks that she is a fake god, and Ortlok thinks that she is a true god, and they have this like ongoing thing for the story where she's trying to change history to stop the Aztecs from doing human sacrifices. Yes?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, not really.
You can't remember that one? The Doctor became engaged in that story.
Yes, I do. And then Ian had a funny bit. He goes, I'm engaged.
Yes, and he had a fight.
Yeah.
With somebody, and then push somebody over the edge of a pyramid, and who then plummeted to their death. Next story is one of my least favourite Doctor Who stories, called The Sensorites. The reason I don't like The Sensorites, it's not too bad, it's just too long, but it's a bit contradictory in some ways. There's a part where the Sensorites are supposed to be peaceful, yet they are trying to kill Ian by poisoning him. Oh, and they also, again, they're supposed to be peaceful, that they threaten if they don't come down to the planet they'll be killed and things like that. That was a lot of... but also the Sensorites are supposed to be the same sort of species as the Ood. But you didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Mm. And they're yes, what?
They're all going to have time to make cakes now.
Oh, dear.
And
I thought that the bloke who played the Sensorite baddie... was particularly nasty and horrible, and probably more than the most evil characters ever to appear in a Doctor Who story. Can you stop doing that, please? But do you remember anything of the Sensorites? So they were basically, they had a really strange, featureless face. And they all looked almost exactly the same, and the only distinguishing thing was their collars. Do you remember them?
Look at Star's face.
Right, you're going to get... I've been quite patient this episode. That's your first warning.
Dad, it's stupid. Well,
later. Things would happen a lot quicker if you lot had let me get on with the show.
Well, hurry up then. We're all getting sorted.
You've interrupted me about 50 times.
I'm falling asleep here.
Anyway, so where do we get up to? We just did Sensorites. Magic is tripping over the...
Well, hurry up.
Anyway, right. So, also the other thing about the Sensorites is that they quite the Sensorites, for some reason, were able to easily pick the lock of the TARDIS and take it away. Which I thought was a bit strange. So, the next story is called Reign of Terror. There's a couple of episodes of that still existing. Did I show you any of the Reign of Terror? It's about the French Revolution. Do I remember showing any of that one?
Hmm.
They land in 1794 Paris in the midst of the Robespierre's infamous Reign of Terror.
No.
Oh. That's where they chop people's heads off.
No.
Okay. Skip that one then. and that's basically it. That's series one.
Oh, good. Read. At last. Can we go on eBay now?
Well, I'm sorry, series one. The highlight for me, series one, was the Daleks for me. And the Aztecs, which was absolutely brilliant.
What's she eating?
Oh, I don't know, probably sunglasses. Anyway, so, sorry about the rather lacklustre attempt at reviewing Series 1 and giving Alicia a mental jog, but
to do a few mental jogs.
You haven't watched it since, 4 years ago, I think it is, because... 4 years, because my mum was pregnant with Isabella when we were watching that particular series of Doctor Who.
Was she?
She was, yes.
Look, it's magic pieces. Oh, you're so cute.
Right, so what did you want to do, Alicia?
Give magic a cuddle.
No.
Oh, eBay.
eBay, right, okay.
Dad, what was that back there on the Hotmail site?
An advert.
What was it for? It looks like a loan shark.
Probably is, so just forget it. Right, eBay, currently number one.
Come here, magic. Come here, sorry.
Second warning.
Whoa!
Oh. Second warning.
Oh my god!
So I'm sorry, Jeffrey, but this is what I have to put up with.
Oh my god! Did you see that? That's a big price, man. Say it.
Currently listed at £12,000 on eBay. No bids yet, hasten to point out. Is a full-size replica Cornish Dalek. I don't know why they spell it Dalek, because nobody would be able to see, because anybody with half a brain knows that Dalek is spelt D-A-L-E-K, so anybody actually trying to do a search for this Dalek won't actually find it. Let's see if actually it's listed in its blurb as a Dalek. Hang on, let's have a look. I'm just going to see if the blurb sort of reads Dalek.
It's a Cornish Dalek.
He spelt it wrong there as well.
What's a Cornish Dalek?
I've no idea.
Let's have a look at a picture. I can't see it properly. Enlarge it.
Although he's overpriced it. You can get a decent looking Dalek for $5,000. I'm pretty sure. Let's have a look. Oh, you can't really see it.
Zoom in then.
You can't zoom in, can you?
You can.
No, look. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, look, you go enlarge.
Not being funny.
Enlarge, I want to see it.
Not being funny, but he won't sell that. One, because he hasn't spelt Dalek correctly. See, I told you that.
I can't see it. Yeah. Oh, that's rubbish.
He hasn't spelt Dalek correctly, and he's listed it at $12,000. It seems to me that he doesn't actually want to sell it. I wonder how many people are going to write to him saying, you don't spell Dalek like that. Number two was a Doctor Who Rare Unique Collection of Videos, which has been on there for a while now. Still no biz, and it's still £5,000, but... he's only got 1 day to go, that Dalek. Oh, maybe that's what he's on about, because Cornish people talk like that, don't they? Dalek. But then he's got to list it, correctly spell it. Oh, no. Oh, I'm confused. Let's see which one item has got bids.
Oh, it's shocking that.
We have Doctor Who Dalek replica full-size prop. One bid at £500. Yes.
Can you do this on your own prop?
No, you can't.
It's quite disgusting.
What? CBeebies on
the
iPod?
No, the dog. No, the dogs are snugging.
Well, give me my iPod a minute then. So, yes, it was a replica. I was just going to have a look at the details on this replica full size prop Dalek.
Very good in condition, though.
Yeah, it's red.
Very good.
Nice, actually, isn't it?
Like.
500 quid. Have you got 500 quid?
Click on that one, quick.
Well, so you can climb inside it and be the Dalek. Hey, that's cool. I like this. I'm impressed. Full-size Dalek.
It's quite a cheap price for a Dalek as well.
Well, you know, you're a connoisseur on Dalek pricing.
So hold on, Dad. If we ever won the lottery, would you buy a Dalek?
Lottery.
Lottery.
Quite possibly, yes. I'd probably get a TARDIS built. Like that girl down in...
Oh, my God. I can imagine it.
what a Dalek, a TARDIS.
No, I can imagine it if we won the lottery. We had a big
lottery.
Huge house. I bet you have a whole room full of Doctor Who stuff.
Yep, I'd have a very, very large room full of Doctor Who stuff. So that's really about it. There is another
Dalek,
a full-size Dalek that's got 8 bids up against it. It's a grey one.
Star, let go. Star, let go. No, look, she's got older some glasses.
Not a lot of news, I don't think. Can you stop diversing?
I'm sorry. Hello, fans.
Anyway, I don't think there's a lot of Doctor Who news on at the moment. Apart from, I heard that, I read somewhere, I think it was on Twitter, that they're talking about making the next series start in the autumn. Which means if that happens, we've got a year and a month to wait. A year and 2 months to wait until the next series starts.
What's the point in that?
Because they want a series to be running in 2013 during the anniversary, so they can have an anniversary special.
Yeah, but the problem is, if they do that, that's too close to the Christmas special.
Well, no, it's not. They had that one they did with David Tennant last year, didn't they? Which was not long before the Christmas special.
Aww.
Was that Planet... Waters of Mars, yeah. But I think they should keep the series where it is, because I can't wait all that time for it. Because we waited nearly 2 years with those, you know, didn't we, between Series 4 and Series 5. And just do a special episode for the anniversary. An extra one. And then have a Christmas special as well. What do you think, Alicia?
A 2 special. I think they should bring some of the Doctors back for the anniversary. Methinks.
Not many of them left, is there?
Peter Davison. Colin Baker. Tom Baker.
Yeah, well, the problem is Colin Baker doesn't look like...
David Tennant.
Yeah.
Chris Eccleston, if he agrees to it.
He won't.
Paul McGann.
He would.
Sylvester McCoy.
He would, but he doesn't... I suppose he does look quite...
Yeah, so there's loads still left.
It's not working.
Why don't you watch it
and maybe bring back some companions?
I don't want to watch it in my bedroom. I want to do this.
Bring back some companions, like... I don't know, Dad, who? Sarah Jane, or she's going to be brought back. Well, there's loads of things you could do, really, but I think I should bring... Like, have the 5 Doctors or something. Like that. Oh, Children of the Age.
Stop. You were talking about what they should do with the anniversary, which is in 3 years' time.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
I agree with most of the things you say. I don't think they can really... they'll probably bring back Davison's Doctor, but I don't think they can bring back the 6th Doctor.
Paul McGann. The 4th Doctor. They could definitely...
Well, I think they should bring back Paul McGann, because we need to see more of him. As I've said to Nick Briggs last week, we need to see more of them on the screen. And that would be the perfect opportunity. And of course there is...
Tom Baker, no offence to him, he's kind of a bit old now.
Yeah, but he's all up for audio stuff. Hang on, what is Star chewing?
I don't know. What about Colin Baker?
Look at this. See what Star's chewing?
I know.
What is it?
It's a star. Star's chewing a star.
Part of what used to be Isabella's sunglasses.
Right.
Okay, let's move on to some
news. Can I listen to something? Can I tell you something? So is Colin Baker look too old now?
He doesn't look like he did when he was in the series. But his voice sounds the same. That's why he's doing so much of the big Kinnish audio.
Who else looks exactly the same?
Sylvester McCoy is probably the only one from the classic. And Paul McGann are the only ones from the classic.
So do they think that they... I think they should bring Peter Davison back, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, and David Tennant, and maybe Christopher Eccleston if he agrees to it, and then you've got the 5 Doctors. Well, adding Matt Smith will be 6 Doctors. Although, Matt Smith might not even be still there. He won't be, though. He wouldn't. He wouldn't be there, would he?
Wouldn't he?
No, he wouldn't.
All right, maybe not, might not be the Doctor anymore, but it doesn't mean to say he wouldn't come back
Hold on. Get rid of Christopher Eccleston, so you could have Matt Smith instead of Christopher Eccleston. But, if you think about it, that means we'll have a whole different Doctor.
I'd like it if Eccleston could come back and do a special...
He won't. He doesn't want anything to do with Doctor.
I think, you know, what they should do, for me personally, what they should do for this anniversary show is have a one-off episode, like a movie-length episode, about the Time War.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because then they don't have to, you know...
But that means Paul McGann will be in the whole episode.
Yeah, that would be a brilliant thing. But that for me would be...
Unless they have 2 specials. They could have a few specials.
Because they could still do the Christmas special, and it wouldn't affect the production of the normal series if they did a special Doctor Who anniversary one about the Time War, in which case they might be able to get Eccleston back, although he's like a regenerated Doctor, isn't he? But that would be like McGann and Eccleston episode.
I'm not really sure about that. But I do think they should make a movie, not exactly for the anniversary, but make a movie about the Time War. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, and they could have that as the Christmas special.
Did I see something about the 2011 series just then?
No, I'm just seeing, I'm looking back through whilst you were nattering, the Doctor Who News situations.
No, I'm not nattering, God. It's quite interesting.
Let me get to something.
No, TV movie.
Oh, right, I'm up to the bit. Yeah, well, this is where I'm going to get to. Right, here we go. The TV, and what they're saying, this was announced on Who, actually.
Shush.
Is the TV movie is going to be released on DVD in America, in North America.
What's that?
The Doctor Who TV movie with Paul McGann in it.
Oh, well, that Paul McGann.
Yeah. But that's already been.
K9 first series on DVD.
Yeah, K9. No, that's that one that was made
for Disney XD.
In Australia.
For Disney XD. Oh my god, can we get that? I'm not joking. Can we get it and watch it? Please.
It says it's going to be released in Australia. It doesn't say it's going to be released here.
Yeah, but it was on Disney XD.
But 624 minutes. There's a lot of it. But yes, I would like to see it. But that's quite good, isn't
well,
it?
Well, you complain for me having Disney Channel Channel.
All right, whatever. The fact is, it'll be available on eBay. So anybody in Australia who gets a hold of some copies of the K9 first series, people in Britain can't have it, but I'm pretty sure that they have the same DVD.
Can you put it on eBay, please, if you don't want
it?
We can
make some money there, because we can't get it for a while. So,
please, can you put it on eBay so you can get it?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Or any Australian companies that sell DVDs. Make it available for us in the UK. Revisitations artwork. It says, Two Entertainer have released the artwork for forthcoming Revisitations box set. This set is due for release in the UK on the 4th of October and will contain updated versions of the Talons of Weng Chiang, the Caves of Androzani, and the TV movie. I'm interested in how they're going to update the TV movie. But unfortunately, because updated versions, do I want to get that? How much is that going to cost me when I've already got
Dad.
Talons of Weng Chiang? I'd have to look more into it more.
No.
In more detail.
No.
Coming up to Christmas.
No. Although what you wanted your Saint shirt.
I want for Christmas is the box set of Series 5. Right, apparently Nigel Planer is joining Doctor Who Live. It says a former star of The Young Ones, Nigel Planer, is to take the lead role in the upcoming Doctor Who Live tour. Planer is best known for his role in that's the TV hippie Neil in The Young Ones. And has also appeared in West End musicals such as Evita and Chicago and We Will Rock You. If you let me read, instead of interrupting me, you'll find out.
No, I was going to ask, what is Doctor Who Live?
Well, if you let...
Okay.
The live show, first announced in May, is touring the UK cities in the autumn and will feature Daleks, Cybermen, Clockwork Droids, Silurians and Weeping Angels. Planer will act as a production's linchpin, starring as a travelling showman, Vorgunzen, who journeys the galaxy spreading tales of the Doctor's exploits and using his minimiser gadget. He can conjure up any of the Time Lord's foes for his audience. Sounds quite good. And it says some blurb. I'm quite excited about to be joining Doctor Who Live, and this role is something of a boyhood dream come true. My character, Vorgunzen, who has been developed specially for the show by Stephen Moffat, is the greatest showman in the galaxy, and is using his incredible invention, the minimizer. He can make any Doctor Who character appear on stage as part of his travelling show dedicated to his hero. Sounds quite good, doesn't it? Oh, there's Karen Gillan. What's she going on about? Hang on, let's see what she says. Says that the third instalment of the Doctor Who Adventure Games is due to be released tomorrow, which we can't play because we haven't got 3D facilities on our computer. And writer James Moran has written a preview, a mini adventure. Wish you were here.
We've seen the advert, haven't we?
Yeah, we've seen that on the telly, so I won't go into that. Doctor Adventures 181 is out. We got that in the co-op. And that's got some boring freebies in it. I think pencils and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. Good for school, eh?
And they've announced the directors for 2011 series. Okay. Doctor Who directors Richard Clarke and Adam Smith will return for 2011. Both are listed on the online CV of the new production designer, Michael Pickwood. They are listed alongside Toby Haynes, who is already confirmed as director for 2010 Christmas special.
Cool.
Richard Clarke directed Gridlock and The Lazarus Experiment, both originally shown in 2007, I nearly got that right, actually, as part of the third series since its revival. He has also worked on episodes of Life on Mars and Whistleblower and Grand Rush.
Cool.
And he directed The 11th Hour as well. There you go. And the TARDIS has been seen at MIT.
So
it says the TARDIS has materialised on top of the little dome at Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Ha ha ha, very funny.
Exterminate at the National Space Centre. National Space Centre in the Midlands will be playing host to an invasion of the Daleks on the 11th or 12th of September to raise money for children in need.
Oh, God, that's coming up soon, ain't it? I love children.
Oh, Isabella. If you keep on saying you want the wee, people are thinking you want to go to the toilet.
No, I don't want to go to the toilet.
She wants to go on Nintendo.
And there's extra material on the
costume
prom.
I like to go on the...
When's that on telly? 6th of September?
The BBC announced that extra content showing behind-the-scenes material for Doctor Who Prom will be available to UK viewers via the Red Button service.
In a minute,
if you let me finish this, I'll sort everything out in that way. Described as a VIP access all areas view of the prom, which took place last month, the material will include interviews with Matt Smith, Karen Gillan and Arthur Darvill.
Dad, when is that going to be on TV?
Says the service will begin on the 6th of September, same day as a prom is broadcast from BBC Three. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
There you go. This is good news for people that are not in this country. Says BBC Director General Mark Thompson has told the Edinburgh International Television Festival the corporation is aiming to launch an international commercial version of the BBC iPlayer within a year.
Oh, that's good.
Mm. The plans, which are subject to approval by BBC Trust, will hopefully allow viewers around the world to watch BBC programmes including Doctor Who, Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures soon after UK transmission. There are also plans to develop a way for the TV licence fee payers and British servicemen and women around the world to gain access to a version of the UK public service iPlayer. BBC chief used MacTaggart lecture to defend the BBC following criticism from many of its competitors, such as James Murdoch, who gave last year's keynote speech to the festival. Okay. The speech has already been attacked by The Telegraph, who singled out the free downloads of Doctor Who computer games, such as yesterday's release of Doctor Who Adventures, as something BBC has no business doing. Now, this will be quite... I think they should make the iPlayer available outside the UK, but outside the UK, all they have to do is have some sort of button that the people have to pay a small amount to, because then they can make money, and then people in the US and whatever can actually watch Doctor Who and whatever programmes the BBC puts out, because BBC puts out some brilliant programmes that aren't available elsewhere.
Why do they say charities on the Doctor Who thing?
I don't know.
Oh, don't read all of this.
It just says people around that. Karen Gillan will join Stephen Moffat at the end of Edinburgh International Television Festival for a question and answer session about Doctor Who.
Cool. That's nice. Very good.
It was announced on Saturday that Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss' production of Sherlock has been recommissioned by BBC One. So that'll be coming back next year. So he's going to be a busy man, isn't he? We've got Doctor Who and Sherlock to do. David Tennant has been listed as one of the top 10 Hamlets by the Guardian newspaper.
What's that?
He played Hamlet, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did. That's it.
BBC Four is to dramatise Douglas Adams' 1987 novel about anti-hero Dirk Gently. Adams was script editor for season 17 of Doctor Who and wrote The Pirate Planet and co-wrote City of Death. Yes, he wrote City of Death, really. He was writing the third Dalek Gently book.
Cool, that's good.
Dalek. He was writing the third Dirk Gently book, okay. Salmon of Doubt, at the time of his death in 2001.
Can we finish with the news now? I'm bored of it.
It's quite interesting, I think. Let's just make sure there's nothing, because we're getting further and further nearer the time. BBC have appointed media accountant Alan Jones as programme director for its new Drama Village.
That's nice.
I don't know what that's all about. So Drama Village is expected to be completed during the summer of 2011, with Doctor Who and Sarah Jane Adventures due to start filming from 2012, meaning the former 50th anniversary series will be produced in a brand new studio. There you go. How's that? Basically, they're building a studio in Wales to film stuff like Doctor Who and stuff.
Matt Smith was at the Doctor Who proms.
Of course he was. You know that anyway. Arthur Jones arrives on BBC Entertainment. The BBC International Broadcast Channel, BBC Entertainment, formerly BBC Prime, this will start broadcasting the third series of Doctor Who. Wow. Now, bring us bang up to date as far as Doctor Who news goes. So let's just have a look, see if there's anything just popped up on the Twitter feed. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/AdamDPearson. See you, let's have a look, shall we? TARDIS Tara is going to bed now, and she's feeling very tired, and has got Happiness Patrol in the morning. There's two or three listeners I haven't annoyed yet. I didn't actually say what she actually said there. She does like to swear a lot, I must admit. I listen to Happiness Patrol. It's quite good. Hello?
Thank
you. Okay. Apparently Noel Clarke is training...
Dad, this is not interesting. Get a famous person.
Noel Clarke is famous.
Katy Perry.
It's got nothing to do with Doctor Who.
Jason Manford.
I've got a few... I'm following a few Star Trek people on Facebook.
Oh.
I like Star Trek. Not as good as Doctor Who.
I don't.
But I do like Star Trek.
Well, listen to Star Trek podcast then.
No. I've got this Doctor Who podcast.
Todd Chuck.
Yeah. So we move on to podcast of the week.
Podcast of the week. That's nice.
Very difficult to choose because there was two particularly good podcasts this week. Who on Who again was really, really good. But I'm going to give it this week. The podcast of the week is going to go to Bigger on the Inside because they didn't include our feedback. Good on them. So, Bigger on the Inside, who reviewed Robot in their last episode.
So they
didn't include our feedback.
Why?
Because they got fed up with your voice, no doubt. How many times, Isabella, do I have to say, let me get on with this, and then we can consider...
Dad, off this podcast, you better delete what I told you to delete.
I've deleted it.
No, you haven't deleted this
yet. Oh, yeah.
I want to do it in my own time.
Yeah, right, so we should move on to what you just mentioned a moment ago.
Sponsor!
Yes, we are delighted to announce that the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is now going to be sponsored by www.whoone.co.uk, which is a local Doctor Who
shop.
Yes, yeah, so they specialise in Doctor Who. And they're available online and... they're actually a great shop. They've got a great bunch of lads, and they're going to be sponsoring the show.
Yeah, they've got loads of good stuff in there as well that you can buy.
They can if you go on to their website, www.whoone.co.uk. And when I say Who Won, it's WHOONE, not the number one, yeah?
Number one.
You'll see for yourself. They've got a rather large range of Doctor Who merchandise. Brilliant shop, brilliant lads, and it's nice to see a couple of Doctor Who fans making a business out of being Doctor Who fans. So,
yes.
Like I say, we hopefully getting them on the show very, very soon.
Yeah.
So, that's our announcement for this week.
Oh no, Isabella, take it off your head, please. What does she look like? What Doctor Who monster does she look like?
She looks like the berry wearer. So... now, this is the point.
What monster are you, Isabella? Are you a monster?
She's a monster anyway, so.
Isabella, are you being a Doctor Who monster? What Doctor Who monster are you?
Amy.
You twit. Right, let's come on. Let's get on and finish off the show. Because I think Graham Sheridan's going to hate this one.
You say that every episode.
No, but it's been particularly stressful, this one.
Yeah, but now I can't make my cupcakes, thanks to you.
I'm not bothered about cupcakes. Okay, the 20 Megabyte podcast can be contacted. Please send us feedback, because it's difficult enough doing the show without feedback. So, feedback can be dispatched to us in these methods. Yeah, can I do the feedback addresses?
Star
an email record. Is 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's a word 20, word meg, the word feedback at hotmail.co.uk. Right. You can leave a message on the wall at the Facebook group, which is the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. You can can add me as 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast as a friend on Facebook, and leave a message via that. You can also go on our website, which is...
We got a website?
Shush! The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. There's a comment facility there. You can leave a message via that. And, of course, on our iTunes feed, and we haven't had a comment on the iTunes feed for ages, you can leave, a star rating and leave a comment via that. And, of course, you can send audio feedback. We're quite happy to receive audio feedback. And how long is it since we last had some audio feedback? Blimmin' ages, apart from, I suppose you could call our interview with Nick Briggs sort of feedback.
No.
And not forgetting the DWPA. There are forums on there, and you can comment on any of the feeds, or, not feeds, what they call those, subjects that I've posted on the DWPA forums. That's the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Have I covered all the Twitter as well? Twitter.com/AdamDPearson. So, that's basically covered everything, I think, this week. I'm going to have to edit a few bits out of this episode.
Yeah.
Ooh, and breaking news, Alicia!
Wow!
Yes, Doctor Who is going to be split into two halves in 2011.
I bet no other podcast does that.
I bet every podcast has got that. We might be the first one to actually get it.
Yeah,
out.
There you go.
But yes, what they're going to do, Stephen Moffat has been angling for this. The first part or half of the series is going to
be
broadcast
the first
in spring.
Yeah, but it'll be the first six episodes.
With a big, big cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then in the autumn, the next half of the series will be shown.
Yeah. And then they'll go on to the Christmas special.
No, I'm hoping what they do is they do seven parts.
No, it'll be six and six.
Oh, for goodness sake. No, it's a 13 parts.
It'll be six and seven.
She's not very good at maths, you see. No, well, if you listen to me, they do seven parts in the spring to summer part of the series.
Yeah.
And they do seven parts, including the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Because the Christmas special was technically part of that series anyway. For the second half. So if they start it 7 weeks before Christmas, they can include the Christmas special. They could have the Christmas special as the big end of season finale, wouldn't they?
Nah, won't be right.
Well, I think it's quite good because obviously it means then we get two
more
series.
And we get more Doctor Who.
Well, it's less gap.
And we get more Doctor Who.
Well, it's not more, is it?
Actually get more Doctor Who during the year.
Do we? Where have you worked that one out?
Because we were six, then we got a break, then we get more Doctor Who, don't we?
No, it just means there's a shorter break in between.
Yeah, that means we get loads of Doctor Who during the year.
Well, it's good for us because we'll have a shorter break between. How long will the 7 weeks last? Between April, probably about middle of May, it'll finish the series. And then they'll start up again in October. So, 4 months, I suppose, isn't it, between both series. So, great. That also means, obviously, they're trying to lean towards being actually on air when the anniversary comes out in 2013. So, there you go. It's the big news for Doctor Who this week. Doctor Who is split in two. So, see you again next week.
Bye.
Oh, hang on. Isabella?
No. Right,
you want to say goodbye? No, okay. Okay, then. I'll do then.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.